This is DW News live from Berlin. NATO's expansion plans in jeopardy as Turkey blocks talks on Finland and Sweden joining the Western military alliance. And NATO ambassadors failed to reach agreement. Also on the program, Moscow says nearly 1,000 Ukrainian fighters have surrendered to Russian forces in Mariupol, and their fate is now unclear. And the United Nations issues its latest stark warning over climate change. Scientists say key indicators of global warming have hit new records and that time is running out. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the program. Turkey has blocked talks on Finland and Sweden joining NATO. Both Nordic nations have now formally submitted membership bids. New members require unanimous agreement from all 30 current members, but Turkey has said no. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accuses Finland and Sweden of harbouring Kurdish terrorists. Another dispute is over sophisticated weaponry.
For Turkey, the issue could actually be about US fighter jets. Turkey was dropped from the F-35 Advanced Fighter Jet Development Program in 2019. This was part of a US sanctions packet imposed on the country after it bought a Russian air defense system. Many believe Ankara is now hoping to pressure the US into selling it new F-16 fighter jets instead, an extremely controversial topic in Washington. Another issue: in 2019, Sweden halted weapons deliveries to Turkey after it attacked Kurdish People's Defense units in northern Syria and launched an offensive there. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan could consider this grounds enough to block the start of NATO accession talks for Sweden and Finland, possibly destabilizing the alliance in the process. It would play into President Putin's hands. It would send a signal that there's no unity within NATO, the wrong signal at precisely the wrong moment. In New York, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his Turkish counterpart Mevlut Çavuşoğlu met in an attempt to find a compromise. There, Çavuşoğlu made Turkey's position clear.
Turkey has been supporting the open door policy of NATO. Even before this war, but with regards to these possible candidates or already candidate countries, you know, we have also legitimate security concerns that they have been supporting terrorist organizations, and there are also export restrictions on defense products.
Every concession Turkey wins from the situation will likely isolate it further in NATO circles, but will win President Erdogan political points at home, something he will welcome as Turkey heads towards presidential elections next year.
Well, Ines Pohl is in Washington covering this story for us. I asked her about the meeting between the the Turkish representative and the US Secretary of State.
Well, when Finland and Sweden signaled they were thinking of making the historic decision joining NATO, the alliance expected a tough response from Moscow, not from one of its own. So ever since Turkey raised conditions for accepting the membership, the rest of NATO was actually really irritated and pretty outspoken about it. However, we hear from today's meeting between the foreign minister of Turkey and Biden's national security advisor Blinken that both sides are on a path to find an agreement. But at this point, they don't mention the specifics.
Right. So what's in it? What does Turkey want out of this meeting then?
Right, so Ankara's main demands are for the Nordic countries to halt support for Kurdish militia groups present on the Nordic territory. And they also want them to lift their bans on some sales of arms to Turkey. Erdogan is obviously using the current war in Ukraine to raise his case, as he knows how important it is for NATO to stay united against Vladimir Putin. Plus, Erdogan is also facing an election within his own country, and his polls are really down, so he definitely wants to show strength to his own people.
Yeah, and this is not his first argument with NATO allies, so clearly he's not bothered about his country being isolated within the alliance.
Well, I wouldn't go so far, but I think it is fair to say that he is often playing kind of both sides. What do I mean with that? For example, he fights with Russia in Syria on the one hand, but supports Ukraine against Putin's army. So why does he do that? Because he wants to be seen as kind of an indispensable mediator, which allows him, after all, to keep doing business with everyone he wants to.
So do we think, then, is the thinking that Turkey will really stop Sweden and Finland from joining NATO, or will a deal be done?
Well, at this point, the US is very confident that they will reach a settlement. And there seems actually, I mean, from my understanding, being here in Washington and reporting about the White House, there seems no way that NATO really would give Erdogan this power. And I think it is pretty possible that we know more after Biden met with the presidents of Sweden and Finland tomorrow here in Washington at the White House.
Thank you for that, Ines. Ines Pohl in Washington. Russia says nearly 1,000 Ukrainian fighters at the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol have now surrendered. Ukrainian authorities hope they can be traded for Russian prisoners of war, but some lawmakers in Moscow are calling for them to be put on trial and even executed. Ukraine says talks about evacuating the remaining fighters from the plant are continuing.
There are fears the Ukrainian fighters who defended the Azovstal plant in Mariupol could face rough justice from Moscow. Russian TV showed defeated troops being led away from the sprawling steel plant. Russia says they'll be treated according to international norms, but there have been calls to designate the feared Azov regiment a terrorist organization. A Russian lawmaker taking part in peace talks with Kyiv said Russia should consider the death penalty for the Azov regiment. They do not deserve to live after the monstrous crimes against humanity that they have committed and that are committed continuously against our prisoners. Ukraine officials remain hopeful their soldiers can be exchanged for Russian prisoners of war. From our side, we can say that the negotiation process is ongoing and that the rescue operation itself is also ongoing. There has also been some unprecedented criticism of the war from unexpected quarters. The main problem with our military and political position is that we are in full geopolitical isolation and that however much we hate to admit it, virtually the entire world is against us. And that's a situation we need to get out of. The Mariupol victory marks a rare win for Russia's military in its three-month invasion of Ukraine. But it could be short-lived. Finland and Sweden have made a joint application to join NATO, a further setback to Moscow's ambitions to contain the expansion of the bloc.
A quick look at some other news related to the war in Ukraine. A Russian soldier being tried for war crimes has pleaded guilty. It's the first such case since the invasion. The prosecutor says it sends a clear message to those who commit war crimes that those who commit war crimes will not escape responsibility. The soldier's lawyer says he'll challenge the indictment. The International Criminal Court is sending forensic experts and investigators to Ukraine to probe possible crimes against humanity. Western allies accuse Russia of committing war crimes, including the murder of civilians. The United States has opened its embassy in Kyiv. The US State Department says a small number of staff will return. Several countries, including Germany, France and Britain, have reopened their embassies over the last month after Russian troops withdrew from the region. The UN's launched a five-point plan aimed at averting a global climate catastrophe. Secretary General Antonio Guterres has warned that time is running out as temperatures rise. Scientists are also sounding the alarm. Four key climate indicators, including greenhouse gas concentrations and rising sea levels, hit new records last year. Much of the world is already feeling the effect.
It's a heat wave that one in six people on Earth are currently struggling through. Blistering heat has scorched India and Pakistan for weeks. On the weekend, temperatures hit a record high of 49 degrees Celsius in the Indian capital, Delhi.
I'm 74 years old. I've never seen New Delhi go through this much heat ever in my life. We used to hear about the heat in Rajasthan. We used to think of it as an unfortunate event when Rajasthan used to go through 48 degrees Celsius. This year, all the records have been broken.
Climate change has already made extremes like this hotter and more likely. The heat has killed crops and hurt harvests. The farmers themselves can't catch a break either.
The heat makes us thirstier. We're also exposed to more heat. We have to work with cloth wrapped over our head. And if we don't, we'll get a headache. We cannot afford to stop working.
Heat makes people less productive. But staying outside for too long, as many workers and even children are forced to do, can cause fatal damage to organs. Temperatures will keep rising as long as people continue to burn fossil fuels. In a bid to keep weather extremes like this from wrecking communities, world leaders in 2015 promised to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius this century. The average increase might not sound like a lot, but the effect it has on extremes is a matter of life and death.
A report released today by the World Meteorological Organization confirms that the past 7 years have been the warmest on record. We talked to the organization's Secretary General, Professor Pateri Atalas, and asked him if the Paris Climate Agreement had failed or was inadequate.
So we have seen progress. We also saw progress at Glasgow Climate Conference last November. The G7 countries, the richest countries, and European Union, they were making pledges to keep us on this 1.5 degrees track. But the rest of G20 countries, countries like China, India, Russia, Brazil, South Africa, they were not ready to make such pledges. And that's why we are not yet heading towards 1.5 degrees. We are rather heading towards 2.5 to 3 degrees warming.
The European Commission has launched a €300 billion plan to end the continent's dependence on Russian fossil fuels. The main focus is on renewable energy. Germany, Belgium and the Netherlands, as well as Denmark, have all pledged to produce more wind power in the North Sea. Other measures include cutting electricity consumption.
This is among the ways Europe plans to create more homegrown energy through enormous offshore wind projects in the North Sea. In Denmark, representatives met from the European Commission and the North Sea countries to discuss forging a new path forward.
The big vision is that we have to expand the offshore wind industry all over the North Sea, that we have to connect each other, that we can make a common business out of it, and that we understand that this is now the time for industrialization.
The declaration of intent will soon be followed by concrete projects. Concern for the environment is one incentive, but Europe also wants to rid itself of dependence on Russian oil and gas as quickly as possible. The European commissioners explained how it will work. The RePower EU plans are a mix of ideas and concrete regulatory proposals. One of the most important points, speeding up the approval process.
Whenever we talk about rapid deployment of renewables, there is an elephant in the room. Getting a permit might take as long as 9 years for wind and up to 4 years for solar projects. So this is time that we do not have.
In the future, the approval of such projects should be possible within a year. Alongside wind power, solar energy will also be prioritized.
We're proposing a solar rooftop obligation for commercial and public buildings as of 2025. And for new residential buildings as of 2029. I know this is ambitious, but it is realistic. We can do it.
To finance this, the EU will have to spend a lot of money. More than €300 billion have already been allocated to the plan.
Just time to remind you of our top story at this hour. Turkey has blocked talks on Finland and Sweden joining NATO. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accuses the Nordic nations of harbouring Kurdish terrorists. More world news at the top of the hour. Rob Watts will be here in just a moment with your